Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP. And you know what? We do a lot of these specials where I come in and I do an interview and I turn it over to the guys and they talk about what took place. I was trying to mix it with what? I messed up. Anyway, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics Proof Show. JT, which is Jerry Taylor, ATM, a.k.a. The Master, along with Jeff the Joker, and Mike, a.k.a. The Bookie Wright. Today, we should have a great, great piece of information going on for you to motivate you. And the information piece is Mike, yes, indeed, Reed. Mike is scheduled to come on today and talk to us a little bit about his signing with Top Boxing, and then his first fight on his new promotion. Mike is going to talk to us about this fight happening in Atlantic City on October 4th. He's currently in training, and I must say, ever since he came on the show so many months ago, Mike, yes, indeed, Reed has jumped on board and been one of those, you know, stalwarts that appear on this program. And the man keeps winning. I'm not going to take all the credit for it. Not all the credit. I'm going to take some of it because one of his fights, you know, I told Mike, look, take it to the body, then knock him out. And he did it. Now, I know Mike, you know, he ain't got that type of money to pay me, but, you know, we'll see. But right now, for your listening pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring in Mike. Yes, indeed. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, brother. I know you just got a training session, and I know you're in there sparring, getting ready for this fight on October 4th. But, you know, we want to welcome you back to this show, and hopefully every time you get a fight, you hop on here first. Now I'm sitting on big top rain, you know, you about to make it rain, bro, make it rain. But talk to us a little bit about that and this fight coming up.
Well, this is actually my first fight signed with Top Rank. It's pretty much the same thing. Go out, look to impress, you know, be safe, and, you know, just keep impressing, keep doing the same thing that I've been doing, you know. There's no pressure on me at all being signed with Top Rank. No pressure because actually this is what I've been fighting for. I've been fighting, you know, since turning pro to get signed. Now that I'm signed, you know, it's a new chapter, and I want to make my run to a world title.
And believe me, I think you got the goods. I really do. Now Top Rank finally opened their eyes and captured you and got you under their moniker. What made you sign with them as opposed to Golden Boy? I know Golden Boy's going through some issues and stuff like that, but what made you sign with Top Rank? I mean, I'm quite sure you've had a few others jump at you, but what was it about Top Rank?
Well, Top Rank was, you know, one of the first companies to actually, well, not one of the first companies to show interest, but they were one of the top major companies to show interest. And when I fought on that card in Atlantic City with my last fight, everything felt right. You know, it felt like family. It felt like I belonged. They made me feel like I belonged. And that was one of the big things And even in negotiating with them, you know, they're business, so they have to do some negotiation. They can't give me everything that I want, and I have to be able to bend, you know, when asking for some things. But the negotiations weren't really too hard, you know. Is we both give a little to get a lot, and that's what we look to do. You know, we look to get a lot with our relationship.
Okay. Now you got this first fight with them, October 4th, back in Atlantic City. Tell me about your opponent, and tell me, well, you don't tell me the game plan, because they're probably listening, trying to get the scoop. But, you know what I told you last time you came on the show? Body, body, he go down.
Yeah,
I want my check. But anyway, tell the listeners about your opponent and what you know about him and what you study.
Well, I know he's coming from Puerto Rico. He's 3-2, you know, and with a three and two record, you know, I'm normally fighting tougher opposition on paper, but with the 3-2 record, we did our research, and he's durable, you know. He's never been knocked out. He's always putting up a good fight. The losses just came. He was just simply outclassed in his fight. But he can fight. You know, he can fight. He's a shorter opponent. And, you know, I'm not the tallest guy. I'm 5'6". But he's actually, he'll be coming in 5'4". So it's kind of a switch, you know. Like I said, it's a switch off because normally I'm the shorter opponent. But
yeah,
this one, he's actually... Right, he's actually a short opponent. So that actually, you know, it takes some adjustments to, because of my whole career I'm fighting taller people, fighting up. And then for me to fight down, I have to make the proper adjustments. And that's what this training camp is about, you know, making the adjustments. I'm sparring smaller opponents because, like I said, I'm used to fighting up. So if I'm punching up at the guy, he won't be there. So I have to change my target.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you – now, like you said, you're 5'6", he's 5'4". So would that also equate to him being just a little bit faster because – or is he a little bit more mobile? Is he a brawler or is he a tactician? I know a lot of smaller guys, they're quick. And at your weight class, you're already quick. So is that something that you noticed?
Well, I don't foresee a lot of people, you know, being faster than me at lightweight or light welterweight. You know, I take pride in my hand speed, so I don't think he's faster than me. But like you said, he's probably going to come out and try to outwork me because he's a smaller opponent. If he's a smaller opponent, you know, he's not really knocking a lot of people out. He's winning this fight based off of work rate, and that's probably what he's looking to do with me as well. So I just have to, you know, keep my hand speed up, keep a good work rate up, and I'll be good.
Oh, we know that. Here's my advice. Jab, jab, hook to the body, come back with an uppercut. I don't care which way. That's, I don't know what your trainer teaching me. I don't know. I got one. I forgot what the hook was. I mean, yeah, the hook was an uppercut. I ain't a boxer. I'm an MMA guy. But that four-punch combo. You're going to put a little bit on his butt for the first time. Now, watch what I tell
cool.
you. Now,
uppercut, yeah.
So here's what I got for you, Mike. Now, I know you'd like to fight every 3 months, if not sooner. I don't know if that's still going to be the case here now that you're with Top Rank, but your goal is that title. How soon do you see yourself being in the title picture?
Well, with 10 fights going on 11, I love to get one more fight in at the end of this year after this fight. So, you know, all goes well, be 12-0 after 2 years. I say if we continue the pace, that'll put me at 6 fights per year. If we continue the same pace, 6 fights per year, I would say after next year. You know, I would say at the end of 2015, I should be ranked in every major boxing organization, every major sanctioning body, I should be ranked pretty good. And everybody that has a belt should know that I'm coming for it. So and it doesn't matter, you know, what belt it is, but like I said, at the end of next year, so 3 years into my pro career, I think that's a real good pace.
Yeah. I agree with you. And ladies and gentlemen out there listening to this interview, if you're an aspiring boxer or aspiring competitive person as far as MMA, wrestling, whatever, listen to what he just said. He's not saying he wants his title shot right now. He wants to hone his skills and do 6 more fights next year. That's 1 every 2 months to build on his craft to become better. And then someone should be looking to take him on and say, oh, this is a young lion, da-da-da-da-da, or he can call his shot. I want you guys to listen to that. He's not coming out here being braggadocious or anything like that. Mike is just saying, I need a little bit more work. By this timetable, on my map, on my my business plan, I should be at this point. I think that's fantastic because it shows that you have a goal in mind. Now, how fast you obtain that goal or how slow you obtain it, you still have it in mind. And you're such a young man. This is outstanding for me to hear. Now, talk a little bit about some of your stable mates. You know, now you're with Top Rank. I know you still are friends with Mr. Bonner and all those other folks, but how does that interact, you know, with your training? Are you going to a different gym? Are they bringing more people in to help out? What is being given to you or proposed to you so that you can improve on your skills?
Well, nothing has been given to me as of now. We wanted to pretty much keep everything the same, you know, not add new people, just keep everything the same because what we've been having has been working so far for us right now. So until what we have in place isn't working with us, then that's what we'll look to add or look, you know, tweak some things. But as of right now, you know, it's still the same thing. I still train with my father. Andre Hunter is still my second. It's pretty much the same thing as far as my stable meets. It's funny you say that. Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford is probably one of the – I think he's one of the – well, he's a champion now. You know, he's a world champion,
yeah.
So I can't even call him a prospect. But when he was a prospect, you know, he caught my eye when he fought Bradis Prescott, and I liked him. I liked everything about him, you know, how composed he was. He reminds me a lot of myself, you know, how smooth he is in the ring. Outside of the ring, he's not going to, you know, too much brag too much. But he, when he gets in the ring, he performs. And he's a good counterpuncher, so I think that's somebody, you know, that I'll have my own. You know, I would love to get in there, you know, and learn from him because at this point in his career, he's a lot further than me, and I would love to learn from him. Even Mikey Garcia, you know, Mikey has good time. There's a lot of people, you know, Top Rank has signed that I can learn a lot from, and I look to learn a lot from in the near future. So. Those are two people that just popped up in my mind.
Outstanding. Listen, man, you have your head on your shoulders, and you know where you want to go. I'm very, very proud of you. I have a nephew named Roddy, and he wanted to box. My younger sister, she said she needs some boxers in the D.C. area and try to get them on. But you have something that he's lacking. Discipline. You're looking at people to emulate or to learn from that might have been your peer at one point, and they've advanced their career. That's commendable, especially being the young man that you are. I love it when you call in. I'm going to be honest with you. I love when you call in and you talk to us and you let us know what's going on with you. And you tell folks where you're going to be and all this other mess. So what else has been going on in your life? Let's step away from boxing for a second. But what else has been going on in your life that you want the people out there to know?
Well, I'm still going to school. You know, school has kind of slowed up. I was a full-time student before I turned pro. It's like the deeper I get into my pro career, I have to back away from school just a tad. And, you know, that's not because I don't want to be in school. It's only because the further I go, the more training that I have to put in, the harder the training camps will be. So if I'm putting this much into school, you know, if I'm putting 100% in school and trying to put 100% to boxing, it's not going to work. Something's going to suffer. And my grades have started to suffer, you know, with me taking – I was taking 4 online classes, and my grades have started to suffer. So now I'm taking 2 classes now, and I'm taking in-course classes, and that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays so I can train, you know. So outside of boxing, I'm still going to school, you know, still looking to get my degree in accounting. So everything's, you know, everything's still the same. You know, the whole plan was to get to this point, and, you know, I look to get my degree sometime next year and continue my boxing career.
Dude, you just impressed me. Seriously. How many boxers, competitive athletes, you know, realize that, you know what, I still need school because after I'm done, whatever it is I'm doing, I'm still going to need to know something. And you get a degree in accounting. And accounting is no joke. It is not a joke. Trust me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there and done that. I remember the days. So that is something I want everybody out there listening to understand, that this guy is not only a professional boxer, he's young, aspiring champion, he has a map to go where he wants to go, but he also is planning for the future. That's critical. Critical, ladies and gentlemen, critical. All right, Mike, let's tell folks real quick about how they can get tickets, how they can see you fighting, and how they can reach you out there in the social media world.
Well, first and foremost, you can get tickets to my next fight on Ticketmaster, ticketmaster.com. My next fight is October 4th in Atlantic City. The hotel is Bally's Casino. The main event will be Glenn Tapia. So once you put all that information in, all the ticket information should pop up. The tickets are $50 and $75. $50 for ring, general admission, $75 for ringside. On social media, YesIndeed_Reed on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook, you can just contact me at MikeYesIndeedReed. I would have to say out of all the social medias, I probably get on Instagram the most. But whenever I have a fight, I like to get on all of them just to, you know, promote my fight and let my fans know the next time I'll be fighting.
Outstanding. Ladies and gentlemen, the young man took a little time out directly after sparring and training to jump on the phone and talk to me, Mr. FSP and FSP Crew Show. I'm going to let you go take a shower. I'm going to let you cool off. Probably got another session later on tonight. And I know it's like 9-something East Coast time, and I'm chilling here at West Coast 6-something. So I'm going to let you go. Enjoy yourself. And good luck on your fight, Mike. You're always going to
have
me call in whenever.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. You all been having me on since, you know, since I started. So we'd like to keep that up, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Get a knockout, brother. Jab, jab,
oh, yeah.
Hook, uppercut. Jab, jab, hook, uppercut. Night-night. Come night-night. Say night-night, dude. Night-night. All right,
night-night.
All right. Take it easy, brother.
You too.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike, yes, indeed, Reed. He jumped in and talked to us for a little bit. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, JT ATM Money will be telling you a couple good things about Mike Reed as well as what's going on in the world of sports. We've got Ray Rice appealing his suspension. We've got the people in Minnesota going crazy over AP and all that. Plus, they're getting ready for the Monday Night Football game. We'll talk to you in a minute. We'll see you in about, let's say, a minute and a half. All right? We'll be back.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-hosts Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
Okay. We are live now. And Jeff, that was a pretty interesting interview. Sounds like a smart guy. Still has a young guy, still has his head on his shoulders, who signed with Top Rank. It looks like starting on October 4th and into the future, he's looking to make a championship run in 2015. How are you doing tonight, Jeff?
I'm all right. How about you?
Don't sound so enthusiastic, Jeff.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a tough week for football fans, you know. I'll tell you, to get into it, it's a I'll tell you, Sunday, they should have called it Sunday Bloody Sunday. I can't remember a Sunday where so many important NFL players got injured. I mean, which made it a very interesting week for fantasy, working the waivers. And then with all this off-the-field nonsense, bad week.
All right, before we go any further, let's bring in our other esteemed co-host from the DMV area near, quite nationally. We call him Black. His real name is Mike, but whatever we call him, we just make sure we call him. Hey, what's up there, my man?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm here at the milk office, man, printing up these milk cartons. Still on the search for Roger Goodell.
Speaking of this, let's go through this now. Okay. First of all, was it Monday, I think it was, or whatever it was, when the tape came out? They mean the NFL and the owners of the Ravens were scrambling. And I wouldn't say in denial, but were scrambling to try to make things right. And also about the same time, when they're talking about Ray Rice, they're talking about Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings when they deactivated AAP for this Sunday. And unfortunately, I happen to have drafted AP in a couple of my leagues, and quite naturally, that was poor timing when they did that, because I had AP didn't have AP on my fantasy football. But that's besides the point. The point I'm making is this, guys: they deactivated AP for this past Sunday. The governor, the fans. Sponsorship was up in arms when they activated AP right on Monday morning, and saying that he was going to play week three, which is up and coming on this Sunday. And they went absolutely, the media, and like I said, the governor of Minnesota, the fans of Minnesota, and sponsorship. Radisson Hotel, I think, which is a local Radisson with the sponsoring, they pulled their sponsorship. The Nike stores, I think it was Nike stores, pulled the AP's jerseys from the stores. I mean, there's a lot of things that were happening. And then they come to the conclusion a day or two ago that they were going to reverse again. Now, they deactivated them on Sunday or Saturday, whatever it was, over the weekend. And then they activated him on Monday. Then they took a couple steps back again and says, we got it wrong again. We made a mistake, and we're going to make it right. And then deactivated him, and essentially putting him on the, I forget what the name of the list is, but essentially until he clears up his...
the exemption list.
Yes. Until he cleans up or clears up his legal matter, he won't be allowed to be playing on the Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is ironic because this just follow me here. AP, sometime before the season started, allegedly had called Jerry Jones and said that I'd like to play on your team. Or something that to that effect. Now we fast forward to what just took place over the last few days, and from what I understand, the trial or whatever legal process won't take place until 2015. So that means AP will not be playing any more in Minnesota this year, and he's due to have a large salary and be 30 years old next year. And there's a lot of reports out there that said AP in week one, week two, whatever it was, has played his last game for the Minnesota Vikings because of the circumstances and the age factor and the salary that he's going to be getting. With that being said, first of all, this is my question. Not question, but I want to give you the opportunity to chronologically go through just where I go through it and give your opinions on what the Minnesota Vikings have done, going back and forth with activating and deactivating AP. And also, knowing that AP may not be with the Minnesota Vikings ever again playing for them because of the circumstances of this year and next year. And, the possibility that he may be going to his home team, where he's born and raised in Texas, the Dallas Cowboys. Talk to me, Jeff. This has been crazy. We're going to talk about the other one, but
talk about it, this. It's like, I'm usually a guy. I'm all for due process, but unfortunately, life isn't always very clear like that. And I think in situations that involve the safety of children, you err on the side of caution. And, if Peterson didn't have the money to post the bail, he would have been waiting in jail for due process, you know. But he's got money and a big-name lawyer, so he's a free man. And he's not always a bright guy because what he said was pretty stupid and got himself in trouble. I think a first-year law student would have told him to keep his mouth shut. But he admitted to whipping his kid. And 99% of the time, I am against hitting children. You know, there are some maybe small exceptions, like if a little 2-3-year-old runs into the street, you hit him on the rear a couple times, not too hard, because you want to make sure they don't do that again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't need belts or sticks or anything like that, and leaving the marks and all that stuff. And then, of course, he sounded like a genius saying, oh, this is old school. Well, I could think of a lot of other things that are old school but are no longer acceptable. He just really portrayed himself in a very bad light. And, and of course, the Vikings mishandled it. Black beat me to the punch. I mean, Goodell is on milk cartons and whatever. I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's just trying to figure out a new policy, or maybe he's just busy sucking up to the owners to save his job. I don't know. I don't really care because I never liked Goodell. And sometimes he could be an easy person to dislike. Kind of like a really bad boss, you know. They want everybody to be perfect, but now he looks like a to put it nicely, a goddamn buffoon. So hey, you know, you're getting the $40 million a year. You want to be the guy. You want to be the boss. You want to be whatever. Well, then be it. And he really, really screwed up with Ray Rice, and now I don't know what the hell he's doing now. But you know, if he survives this scandal, which he might not, he won't survive another one. Oh wow! I think Devin Hester just scored for Atlanta. I want to interject. Roddy White and Doug Martin were both inactive for tonight. These Thursday night games could be tricky, but it's still easier to deal with a questionable player for a Thursday night game than a Monday night game. That's when you could really, you know, get messed up with your fantasy team. But yeah, it's just this whole thing is a real downer, and it's you know, there's over 1,600 players in the NFL. Most of them are really good guys. There's a few bad apples, but these are the ones we've been hearing about a lot recently. It's very unfortunate.
Black.
Yeah, man, this thing, first off, I was up. I got off late. I got off work late, maybe about 12 o'clock. So I get in the house, maybe about 12:30. And I just see a notification pop up on my phone, right when I was laying my head down, about 2:30, saying the Vikings deactivated AP. I was like, who the hell is still up at the NFL office? Who's up in the Minnesota Vikings complex thinking about this right now? They even make this decision at 2:30 in the morning. That was the first thing I was looking at, was just shaking my head. But they made the decision. Everything has been flip-flopping like a Mitt Romney press conference. I don't understand what's going on. Where is the commissioner? Where is Goodell on all of this? He stuck his head out on front on the Ray Rice thing, and now you can't find the commissioner on this thing. The whole Peterson thing, I see where you're going with the Peterson conspiracy theory, but I don't think he'll be a Dallas Cowboy anytime soon. I mean, this backlash that he did receive, like, he's lost contract now with Nike. Several endorsers have dropped him. This is a big, big thing that the NFL is trying to skate. And to think on the heels of next month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month in the NFL. So I don't know what's going on or how they're going to get this situation resolved.
Well, I don't think they're going to get a resolve anytime soon. And since we briefly talked about Ray Rice, okay, let me put it this way. I'm putting AP aside because right now he's deactivated, and more or less, like I said before, he's not going to play this year, and he's probably played his last game with Minnesota Vikings, and because it'll be a tough row to hoe to come back and play for the team, for one. And
I mean, because they waited till now. Now Greg Hardy is also on the exempt list. And I believe they're moving towards putting Ray Buchanan now on the exempt list, if I'm not mistaken. So they waited till now. I don't know why the NFL wasn't out front with this earlier.
Well, let me go this route. Okay, because I had a think about this, but the simple fact is, and he was flying under the radar until AP came out, and a big stink about domestic violence really rose his ugly head. I'm talking about Greg Hardy, and the team, meaning the Carolina Panthers, weren't doing squat and weren't saying squat until AP really, I should say, Ray Rice really created a firestorm. AP put more kindling on the fire, and Greg Hardy, I would say, blew it up. Let me put it that way. Because he had been playing all along, and it really up until the last minute on Sunday, I think, and it was literally the last minute on Sunday when the Carolina Panthers deactivated Greg Hardy, he was going to play. But because of the firestorm that was created, one through Ray Rice, then, like I said, added on with AP, and Greg Hardy was flying under the radar, and the owner of the Panthers, along with the coaching staff and the general manager of the Panthers, were all I would say fat, dumb, and happy, but we're all, like, not saying anything and probably crossing their fingers so they can get Greg Hardy to play, and it wasn't to be. So they did the same thing that Minnesota did with AP. He's now deactivated, and I would have thought that he would have been the first one because of the fact he's got a conviction, even though he's on appeal, and he's supposed to have a trial by jury, whenever that is. He's convicted. Judge convicted him, but now he's looking for a jury trial, and he's supposed to be getting that. So he's sitting down by the wayside because of this. And lo and behold, I don't know what the – maybe it was the water, the air, or maybe – I don't know. Lo and behold, just this past afternoon, yesterday afternoon, Jonathan Dwyer, again, he raises his ugly head at a domestic violence a charge. He gets arrested, and from what I understand, he headbutted his, I think, either girlfriend or wife, broke her nose because he wanted some of that good stuff, and she didn't want to give it up. So he got pissed off about it and decided to headbutt her. Supposedly he threw something at a 17-month-old son, supposedly. Put his fist through the wall several times in the house out of, I guess, sexual frustration or whatever it was. And she left the house. I think the following day he punched her in the face, and that's when she left the house. And then he Instagrammed or whatever pictures of a knife that claiming he's going to have suicide. And then let me backtrack. When he headbutted her the first day, 911 call came in. The police came there and he hid in the bathroom. And she said that he wasn't there. I mean, if you look at the articles that I have read about what took place with Jonathan Dwyer, and supposedly he's on a non-injury illness or something like that. So I think they evaluated him for mental issues. But they just keep coming. This one is crazier than the last one and the one prior to that. So you got Ray Rice, AP, Greg Hardy, and now Jonathan Dwyer in the last 2 weeks created a huge firestorm. And now the NFL has got a huge problem on its hands because the perception of a lot of people of the NFL that is made up of a lot of thugs, criminals, and wife beaters. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah, it's a mess, man. It's I don't know how else to put it. I mean, you got to keep reminding yourself and telling other people, you know, that there's over 1,600 players in the NFL, and just recently there's been a rash of these ugly incidents. This has come up before. There's so many good players in the NFL, you know, the Jimmy Grahams and James Casey and Brandon Marshall really turned himself around, and there are too many to list. You know, Michael Vick turned himself around, and then there's just, you know, there's also guys who were never in trouble, and really a lot of good solid guys, but you know, you don't hear about them because that's pretty boring. You know, it's not a good news story. But unfortunately, it's the negative that dominates. It's the way it is, and it's a problem. And it's been a period of great prosperity for the NFL, and you know, they might lose some casual fans because I think that might lead to the popularity. You know, the bringing in more casual fans, and there's a lot of women fans, and some of them are new and some aren't, and this is going to turn off a lot of them. And but the thing is, you know, these NFL owners, they're not about white, they're not about black, they're all about green. I mean, I cannot emphasize that enough. They do listen to the sponsors. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, Jerry Jones would love to get AP. But, you know, Nike is one of his big sponsors, not just an NFL sponsor. I think they're also a big sponsor of the Cowboys. And, you know, if they tell him, you know, hey, we don't want that child abuser wearing a star, he's probably going to listen, you know. And, you know, I don't know if you guys know this song. There was a popular song back in the 70s by the Climax Blues Band. You know, couldn't get it right. And I've been thinking about that ever since that ridiculous press conference with the Vikings. You guys know the song?
No.
I don't know the song.
I might have to put it on Facebook, or I'll send it to you guys. It was a big song in the 70s. It was kind of funky. I knew a guy, he thought it was Sly and the Family Stone. It wasn't, but it did sound a little like Sly. And it's couldn't get it right. And that's the Vikings. And, speaking of Michael Vick, I mean, that's a guy who really turned himself around. And he's just grown up so much. I mean, early in his career, I really liked him as a player because he was a very exciting player. I mean, I knew he wasn't a great quarterback, but any time the Falcons were on, I'd be like, oh, I want to see that game because I don't know what Vic's going to do, you know. And he actually was speaking up for Goodell earlier today. I mean, that's how far Michael Vick has come. And, you know, he's really matured and – you know, and believe me, Goodell came down hard on him, you know. But, you know, Vic is just showing a lot of class now. But there's so many good NFL players, you know. Like now, there's Haitian players, and a lot of those guys helped out a lot after the earthquakes there. There's too many good players to list. But that's never front page news. That's back page news, if at all, you know. But, you know, let's hear more about these good guys, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. Well, we got a game coming on. We got a game going on, guys. And it happens to be the Atlanta Falcons and the winless Tampa Bay Buccaneers who in their home opener last week, lost a heartbreaker in the last few seconds to the last seconds, I should say, to the lowly third string quarterback Austin Davis led St. Louis Rams. I had predicted this earlier when we were doing our preseason evaluations of predictions of all the teams. I don't like Tampa Bay. And I really don't like the quarterback. I think the quarterback's going to hold him back. If you watched that game last week, he was absolutely horrible. Very inaccurate. The decision-making and where he was throwing the ball was absolutely horrible. In fact, what I thought I saw before, he had a hell of a part of the year last year, was a backup quarterback. And Mark Trestman made him out and got him some money when he went to Tampa Bay. But in my opinion, he's still a backup quarterback besides as a starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Talk to me, Black.
Yeah, I'm watching the game right now. It was Harry Douglas who got the touchdown for Atlanta. So if you're keeping track of fantasy, Harry Douglas got that first touchdown. But I thought Tampa Bay would be a big improvement with Lovie Smith heading down there, getting his staff together. But it's just not looking good right now. I'm looking to check out Mike Evans here to see if he's going to do anything. But the quarterback situation is definitely shaky down there. I don't know what Tampa Bay is going to be able to accomplish tonight. Atlanta's just moving up and down the field right now, well, even though they just gave up a fumble, but it looks like they got the ball back.
Jeff?
Yeah, I was – thanks for the correction. I was mistaken on the Atlanta touchdown, and that either Harry Douglas or Devin Hester is a good pickup for somebody who needs a wide receiver this week. I'll tell you, you know, the NFL is constantly changing, and you know, these early games, the special teams play is crazy, and you know, I think with the new collective bargaining agreement, it changed the NFL because they don't get as much practice and training camp, they don't get as much mini camps, but you know, they just keep making the big money hand over fist, you know, but even if it's just for public relations reason, they're gonna scapegoat somebody, you know. But then, I mean, these guys have allegedly done some really bad stuff, but they want to look better in the public. I'll tell you though, I've been watching the Giants, and they're, you know, I grew up watching the Giants. Their run defense has looked so bad, and that's rare. I mean, they've occasionally had bad pass defense, but almost always had a good run defense, and unreal. And then they're playing Houston this week, who runs the ball pretty well. I'm dreading watching that game because that's horrible when you're watching your team just get run on play after play after play. And already one of the Giants cornerbacks is now out for the year. The defensive backs looked okay. And, of course, they still look horrendous in that horrible offense. I don't know why they hired McAdoo from Green Bay. And it's going to be a long season for Giant fans, yeah. But they'll start playing maybe halfway through the season, you know, once they're eliminated, you know, from the playoff race. They'll play just well enough to miss out on a really good draft pick because that's what they usually do.
Are you guys going to get away from going, you and Joker, the Houston Giants matchup?
No, I'm not going to get away from going. I was just about to interject that a brother of mine who happens to be a Giants fan and happens to have tickets, we're going to be in the stands at that game. So if you guys happen to catch that game and you see a guy that's dressed up in Houston Texan gear causing a ruckus in the stands because of his abhorrent behavior and the Giant fans are reacting to it, it's me.
I thought I was going to spot you with some Jets gear out there.
Oh, no. I've got a decent amount of Texan gear that I'm going to, in me, full regalia when I get out in the stands. Hopefully I can blend in because the Giants are red, white, and blue for the most part, or red, blue, and I can kind of blend in because Texans' colors are a different type, but they're red, white, and blue also. So,
Jerry, you wear Texans merchandise?
Texans, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't know if, because not everybody's into the merchandise, you know. I mean, Giant fans are better behaved than Jet fans. And Jet fans are much better behaved than the Eagle fans, who half of those cats are on work release, you know. I've heard if you're going to go to a sporting event and root for the visiting team, and we're talking like a big-time sporting event, not just like high school or whatever, that – To be safe, sometimes you shouldn't wear the merchandise. Cause I knew a guy. He went to Philly, which is not far from New York, to go to a Giant game. It was a home game for the Eagles, and he said that he was using the urinal in the men's room, and some jerk came over and knocked the hat off his head. You know,
get out of here. Is that right?
I mean, he's lucky that was all that happened. But this is the kind of nonsense that people do. You know, because, you know, some of these clowns, you know, they booze it up before the game because the beers are expensive inside. And, they, you know, they usually they'll sneak in some stuff, too. I'm just saying, you know, if I was going somewhere else, you know, to another city rooting for the Giants, I might not be wearing I don't have a Giants jacket, but I might not be wearing the merchandise. Just, you know, not probably 99% of the time it's probably all right, but, you know, some of these dopes, I don't understand this. You know, you spend $100 for a ticket for a football game, maybe more, and then they booze it up. They can't even remember. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
That's pretty good. Can't remember
quick,
the game.
Quick score update. Matty Ice, otherwise known as Matty Slush, to Julio Jones, 8-yard touchdown, 14-0 Atlanta.
Yeah, Mike Glennon, where are you at? I see that happen. That may be on the horizon. That may be coming quicker than a lot of people are thinking. Mike Glennon, who, in my opinion, is a better quarterback, even at his young age, has quite naturally has more upside than Josh McGowan, who is just a backup. For all the years he's been in there, for the most part. So Lovey may lose his patience and say, you know, I've seen enough for the betterment of the team and for my sanity and for my employment. We're going with Mike Glennon. It was a nice ride with Josh McGowan while it lasted, but Mike Glennon is where I'm going to hitch my next horse to.
Make sure Wes Freeman was still in time, doesn't it?
Yeah. And Black, last week, was it last week? I think it was last week. Yeah, on Sunday. And I just thought about this. On Sunday, you text me, and I neglected to mention it. It wasn't on purpose. About our matchup with your uptown Django's, whooping up on me in your beast mode league. I really appreciate that, Black. I thought we were boys. Apparently, you got the Django out of me, so that's okay though. That's all right. Hopefully, we'll meet a little further down the road, and I can return the favor. That nice smackdown. I got to admit that. Let me put it that way. Your thoughts. Your thoughts.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we opened up 2-0. Unfortunately, those two victories came against my beloved co-host. I still love you guys, but we're all for a chip, man. We need a chip. I mean, everyone's won but me. I need to win. So we're all for blood this year, man. And I think this year that the defense is more potent than my offense, so I'm relying on the phrase defense wins championships. And just as I speak about that, there's a turnover here, and it looks like Atlanta has the ball once again.
Wow!
Oh man, if Tampa fumbled that kickoff, they are in deep trouble.
It doesn't look good. I mean, I'm telling you. I didn't like Tampa. I can tell you. Let me see what I predicted Tampa would be. I got that record in here of what I thought Tampa would come out to be. And let me see what I wrote down in here for Tampa Bay. I think I already gave them 3 wins, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, I did.
3 wins?
3-13 is what I predicted Tampa Bay they would be. I'll be surprised. Well, look at the first look at the first 6 games that they have, and tell me, you guys tell me the first 6 games, which one are they going to win? They already lost to Carolina. They already lost to St. Louis. They're playing Atlanta now, and they're going to be losing at least by 17-0 with a field goal. They go at Pittsburgh next. Week 5, they go at New Orleans. And week 12, they're home against Baltimore before they go to the bye in week 7. What of those first 6 games are they going to win?
that looks like a straight over.
Yes.
Maybe they'll beat Pittsburgh. You know, I'll tell you, it's they do have some talent on that squad. The receivers, quarterback is also very important. I like Lovie as a coach, but I don't know. Some people think Shiano was starting to put together a decent roster, but it just goes to show you the importance of coaching. You want to go back, it's not super relevant, but, they didn't give Gruden a chance to fix the team. You know, one bad year and done with him. Raheem Morris didn't do well. Shiano out after 2 years. And, when you keep changing coaches frequently and head coaches that frequently in the NFL, usually you're not going to win. But, who knows? Lovey's very well respected and, hopefully he and the new GM could turn it around for them. I can't believe Shiano isn't coaching a college because he built that Rutgers program. And a guy like that you think would be in demand. I heard he was doing some consulting for the Patriots because he's friends with Belichick. And needless to say, if he's working for the Patriots, it's, of course, hush-hush.
And you have to think about this. I'm looking at the rest of the schedule, and to tell you the truth, once they come off the bye, I gave them two wins, Minnesota at Cleveland. And I'm not too sure about at Cleveland now. Then they play Atlanta again, week 10, at Washington. Kirk Cousins is still there. I don't see him winning that. At Chicago, I don't see him winning that. Cincinnati, I don't see him winning that. At Detroit, I definitely don't see him winning that. Then they go at Carolina. Their best chance of beating Carolina was at home, and they couldn't do it. Now they have to go to Carolina. I don't see him winning that. And then week 16, they play Green Bay at home, okay? And then the last game they play, they play New Orleans. They play New Orleans at home. So
Pick six, Atlanta's up 21-0. Pick six, McCown. It's getting ugly. First quarter.
I'm telling you. Am I wrong? Just listen to what I'm saying. McCown is a backup, and he is not long. They may make the change tonight. They may make that change tonight. They may have had enough and say, Mike Glennon, you're up. Josh McCown, take a seat and rest up your tired arm. I'm telling you. It looks ugly. It looks ugly. We got 2 minutes left in the show. We'll go round the horn. The time flies when you're having fun. Black, talk to me.
Yes, will I be seeing you gentlemen October 4th in Atlantic City?
You know what? I'll be there, Black. October 4th is like two or three weeks away, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Going out to my man Mike S&D Reed on the Glenn Tapia card at Bally's in Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's one of the few casinos that are still afloat in Atlantic City.
If Trump might get back into casino game. I don't know if I can make that. Saturday, I think it was, Rutgers finally played their first Big Ten game against an old rival, Penn State, and I definitely could see that becoming a big rivalry for Rutgers. There is some history there and the geography's there, and unfortunately Rutgers lost, which is a bad way to start because, I think they only beat Penn State twice before. But one of those was huge because it cost Penn State a shot at the championship back in the late 80s. And offensive coordinator for the Scarlet Knights is Ralph Friedgen, the former head coach of Maryland. And I thought he got a raw deal from Maryland. And I was very happy to see him on the sidelines for Rutgers. Hope it works out well for him at Rutgers. He's a good guy. He ran a clean program at Maryland. He won, but not enough to make everybody happy. So he was relieved of his duties. And, you know, this is, you know, I mean, Rutgers is going to have a little more trouble in football in the Big Ten. And everybody's talking about the demise of the Big Ten. It's not what it was, but it's I think it's still relevant. But Rutgers is going to really struggle in hoops because they haven't had good hoops for years, and they are going to struggle. Yeah, you know, it's the East Coast has been kind of a wasteland for college football, but who knows? This might help the popularity in the New York area.
Okay. All right. Well, people, tune in next week. Well, thank you for listening. And for those who listened into, now we're in overtime, but thank you for listening. Tune in next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, p.m. It's on the calendar for, let's see, September 25th, which is next week, next a week from today, when Jeff and I, and along with Black, will... who are part of the FSP crew. We'll be back here talking about sports. Hopefully we don't talk about somebody else with a domestic violence or somebody in the NFL or whatever sport is doing something wacky. And we're not talking about criminal activity from a professional sports athlete. We're talking about other things.
Please, people, if you spot Roger Goodell anywhere, please call 1-800-THE-LOST.
Yes, I'm thinking by Sunday that Roger Goodell is going to be interviewed somewhere, or he's going to talk somewhere, because it's awful ironic that ever since
I don't know if we're seeing before that. I mean, they flew a blimp outside the state in the night with the banner of Goodell Must Go. I don't think we'll be seeing him anytime soon.
Well, it would probably behoove him if he came out and said whatever he said about what's been taking place with the last four players, Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson, and Jonathan Dwyer, and what the teams are doing, and the team owners are stepping up. But Mr. Goodell, like you said, Black, is America's most missing. Let me put it that way. Now, most wanted.
Oh, no. Fumble by Tampa Bay. Atlanta has the ball again.
Oh, my God.
First quarter. This is going to be turn off the lights. People are going to go to bed early because only the people that are going to be watching this game are the ones that have fantasy players in this to see what's going to happen.
Atlanta's defense, you are feeling fine right now.
Well, the refs try to keep it close. You know, that's what a lot of paranoid people will say about a game like this, you know. I've never seen Lovey chew out a player on the sideline, but if it keeps up, we might see a first.
That's true. You're absolutely right, because this team doesn't seem like they're focused on playing on a prime time night, a Thursday night. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they can turn it around. Many other teams have turned it around. Speaking of that, how about Chicago turned it around against San Francisco when everybody thought that was going to be a blowout when they went up 17-0, and they turn around and come win that game, which is unbelievable to me that they did that, but it is what it is. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. You guys, thanks again for joining me. Enjoy the week. Good luck in your fantasy leagues. Good luck with your fantasy teams. And NFL players, do right. Do right. That's all I ask. Just do right. In fact, why don't you, when you go leave the practice field and the locker room, get in your car, go strictly home, and lock yourself all alone in your room so you don't do anything to anybody until the game starts. And then come out and go play football. With that being said, take care, people. Enjoy the week, what's left of it. Enjoy the weekend. supposed to be a nice weekend, especially on the East Coast. And we're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.